And so we kind of close out this chapter with a look at the New Testament here. And so we see the redemptive glory in John's gospel. And so he says the U-shaped monomythic themes abound in the New Testament, but he focuses his attention on a few episodes in the Gospel of John. A succession of incidents in the Gospel of John serves to highlight the redemptive glory of God by setting forth some illuminating contrast. One of the ways that he seeks to convince his readers to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, is to see how God's glory is magnified in his Son.
All right. And so what are these contrasts? Well, the first one we find in John chapter 9 is the glory in blindness. Right, that's almost contradictory, right? The glory and blind, you can't even see. How can you, you know? So the first narrative occurs in John 9 where we read, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. So this guy could have never saw anything.
Doesn't even know what
his whole life. Right? The disciples assert about the sinful cause of the man's blindness are not accurate, right? Yet their assumptions are not entirely unfounded either, Christensen tells us. Right. They realize that blindness has no part in the good creation God made. It is one of the natural evils that befall the world cursed by Adam's sin. The wonder and beauty of creation ought not be hidden from anyone's eyes, but the poor beggar, this blind man, has experienced the unfortunate effects of this fall all of his life, right? And so now when Jesus proceeds to explain the man's blindness, it is obvious that it entails a divinely orchestrated purpose, right? He says this isn't his mother nor his sin, but for the glory of God, right? There is insolvent in saying that God ordained this natural evil to overtake a man, even as his, from infancy, right? He was blinded. And before he had an opportunity to do good or evil, he was blinded, right? And so, this was, God has put this in place for a particular purpose, right? This evil, this unfortunate circumstance, this total blindness of this man for all of his total life, God put that in place for his glory, for his purposes.
And like how we want to do with Job, what his friends do in Job, is they look at, well, who sinned here? His mother and father, or did he commit a sin? What caused him in this broken world to be like this? Because this is part of the brokenness. Mm. And like Job, Jesus says, you're looking at it the wrong way here. He wasn't punished because of sin, which was the result of his blindness, but he was born blind so that that God's glory may be exhibited here. So Jesus indicates the man's condition was decreed in order that, quote, the works of God might be displayed in him. This is what he was created for. This story we get to read about. He's here. This bleaker state of man's predicament provides the foil for God's extrinsic glory to be manifested to a greater degree. Dare we say that it was better for the man to be born blind, that there was a fortunus to the fall? It appears that God thinks so. The Almighty is glorified not so much in the absence of suffering, but in its presence. And think about the blind man, unable to see since birth, and all of a sudden he sees the color blue and red. And the steps where he's been at his entire life, and the people around him, and his mother and the father, and the temple, and Jesus.
What a glorious situation.
Yeah.
Just think about it.
Yeah.
This man had never seen colors, and now they're totally upon him. Right. So he tells us that this fact becomes clear in the aftermath when the man has to endure the preposterous indignation of the Jewish authorities, right, for the miracle that has taken place. You know, how can this man be from God? He's a sinner. How could he do miracles, right?
Which is definitely the attitude we would take, right? If one of our friends who we always passed is blind and all of a sudden can see, well, what about this man's sin? You know he sins, right? That's the charge.
And so the glory of Christ has been manifested in the reversing of blindness, right, into sight, both physically and then especially spiritually. spiritually, notice, as the man believes and worship. And this is the point he wants us to see here, this glory is heightened by the irony of Jesus conferring spiritual blindness on those who, like the Pharisees, think that they see.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Here's the juxtaposition right here. This is what he's doing.
Yeah.
This, the holy men.